May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there was a Jewish man who was kneeling before Queen Elizabeth, waiting to be honored as a knight for all of the decades of laudable service that he had offered to the crown. And at night, he was practicing a particular Latin phrase that he was to recite at the moment that she dubbed him. But at the moment it happened, he drew a blank as he was kneeling before her. And so trying his best with all of his heart to try to remember anything to do with chivalry or being a knight, he oddly found himself thinking back to his childhood Seder celebrations. And so he ended up blurting out, quite oddly, Manishtana halailat hatse mikot halailot. Well, puzzled, the queen looked over to her advisor, who quickly translated for her, why is this knight different than any other knight? That's right. A good pun has a big setup. All right, anyway. Well, traveling through the life of Christ via the life of Christ icon, we finally arrive at last to our Lord's glorious resurrection. And our psalm today sets that Passover background that we have for this amazing event. Just as the Lord rescued his chosen people by bringing them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea on dry land, well, Jesus brings his beloved faithful from death into life by means of his sacrificial offering on the cross and his victorious resurrection from the grave. Thus, the church has long linked the Paschal feast of our Lord to this seminal event in Jewish history. Of course, our gospel account from St. Luke gives a pretty detailed discovery of what happened in finding the empty tomb. And the physician disciples account that we have verifies that the women who were there were the first to discover Jesus's missing body. And then immediately comes the appearance of what the church has long accepted as an angelic entourage, reaffirming what Jesus taught about his mission, that he would indeed die and then rise again 3 days later. Next, the women rush back, tell the 11 and those who were gathered there with them, and of course they didn't believe them, so Peter goes to verify and darts off and goes see the miraculous empty tomb for himself and returns in utter astonishment. So while the psalm gives us a background for this event, and the gospel gives us the gist of what happened in terms of the details that first Easter Sunday, St. Paul illuminates the impact of Christ's rising from the dead. We aren't left in a pitiful state of false hope. Jesus has genuinely defeated death. Jesus is victorious. He has beaten death itself and is winning the victory over every demonic straggler that attempts to keep humanity from God's good and also God's good creation from being subject to sin, to futility, to devastation and decay. In fact, it's this very scene that we see on the icon that's portrayed as death is in chains at Jesus' feet. The lid of the sarcophagi are thrown open in the shape of a cross. Jesus is, of course, pulling an Adam and Eve from the grave, while the Lord is surrounded by Old Testament saints who themselves are now in beauty glorified, just as our Lord is in his white robe and surrounded by heavenly radiance. Death is dead, and Christ's life within us by means of his indwelling spirit will produce his resurrection life when he returns. But why is the defeat of death such a big deal. Shouldn't we just be content to live an upstanding and relatively peaceful life now? Maybe we should prefer to see the resurrection as a metaphor for the circle of life, death, and renewal that we observe in the natural world. Shouldn't we just prefer to dodge the sticky wicket of trying to defend a doctrine that seems to fly in the face of our supposedly scientifically enlightened culture? Well, St. Paul said that if we only have hope for this life, we are to be pitied. A sorry lot. People others should feel bad for. In talking about the various fan speculation in Game of Thrones that Kelly and I had recently, we batted around how disappointing it would be if the show ended up with the Night King with all of his icy zombie horde defeating all of humanity in Westeros. For those of you who don't watch the show, that essentially means that death wins. There's no one left alive. Well, that would make a mockery of all the joys and struggles that the different priorities of the characters that you love or love to hate that you held so dear in your hearts. You would watch this and wonder, well, why bother? Well, that's just as true of real life. Who cares what political party wins? If, as the news said this morning, North Korea ends up blowing up the world, who cares if all the people in Houston and in Louisiana ever find a place to live again? Who cares if the Taliban retakes Afghanistan? Or if we end up able to successfully combat the opioid epidemic in Somerset County? Who cares if our kids finish school and become hardworking moral citizens in a functioning democracy? If at the end of the day, all we have to look forward to is death winning the day, well then, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, as old Apostle Paul says elsewhere in this same context. Not only do we need forgiveness, not only do we need divine power to live right, not only do we need some vague hope of an afterlife, we need a genuine renewal of ourselves and this world that reaffirms that what God makes is good, both his spiritual and his material creation. God did not send Jesus to earth to suffer and die and to rise again just to make people nice now and to punch a ticket for some souls to get to heaven and let the rest of it just go to pot. The Lord of all creation longs to redeem his whole creation. So death must go, sin must be purged, and all things must find their fulfillment in the risen glory of the Son of God. Otherwise, what we preach here is a pipe dream, and Paul is right. We are a pitiable lot. Of course, plenty of people go through life without believing in the truth of the resurrected Christ. Cyclical-minded Buddhists and Hindus and certain indigenous religionists do. Material-minded atheists and agnostics do. Even a few fellow monotheists among Jews and Muslims, and even among some who claim to be Christians, well, they go through life with a common human hope that maybe good will overcome evil, but most don't expect to see Jesus come back or that they will escape death. But they are as lost with false hope as we are if there is no real way to finally deal with our final enemy, death. Of course, it doesn't stop us from trying. We have sci-fi inspired cryogenic storage facilities, or the idea of consciousness transfer via electronic data that speaks to our deep-seated hope to defeat death. Yearly commitments to eat better and exercise, even the recent political hubbub that we had over how to cover medical care, well, all of this bubbles up from our longing for a long and healthy life. We want to cheat death. But Jesus has already beat death. So, if we follow Jesus, whether we live or die, we are assured to share in His resurrection power, to live our life in His love now, and to rise in immortal glory like our Lord in the promised heaven on earth that we anticipate in eternity. Now, far better theological minds have done the yeoman's work in proving the reality of Christ's resurrection in history. And if you want proof that Jesus is alive, I'll be happy to point you to their thoughtful work. But if you simply want to have the reassurance that death isn't the end of your story, well, I can point you to Jesus right now. Because He has defeated death already. We don't have to fear what's on the other side. Because a new life just like His awaits us. Mortality will be swallowed up in immortality. Every evil enemy that combats creation and subverts our souls has been conquered by Christ. The foundation of our faith is sure. We need not fear or worry. Our hope is not in vain. We can trust in Jesus because He has won the victory and He gives us His Holy Spirit as a down payment on His promise. And that same Spirit fills our hearts with divine love, enabling us to genuinely and wholeheartedly love God and others. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, just like the old hymn says. So be encouraged. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us pray. O God, our King, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week, you conquered death and put sin to flight, and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Redeem all our days by this victory. Forgive our sins, banish our fears, and make us bold to praise you and to do your will, and steel us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the last great day, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.